Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. There's a question asked us in the reading today, or at least a statement is made that leads to a question. Is your faith firm? That no matter what would attack you, by the grace of God, not by your own strength, by the grace of God, have you cultivated faith in your life, faith in God, trust in His word, obedience to His commandments? Is your faith firm? Brothers and sisters, it behooves us to pay attention. It's really important that we continue to grow in faith so that it is very strong, so that in times of difficulty, though we may be tempted, we will not give in, we will not reject God, we will not reject the truth. We won't. So the question is asked in the Old Testament, and it's asked today of each one of us. Is my faith firm? Let's take a look at the reading from the prophet Isaiah. In the days of Ahaz, king of Judah, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, king of Israel, son of Remaliah, went up to attack Jerusalem, but they were not able to conquer it. When the word came to the house of David that Aram was camped in Ephraim, the heart of the king and the heart of the people trembled as the trees of the forest tremble in the wind. And then the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out to meet Ahaz, you and your son Shear Jashub, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, on the highway of the fuller's field, and say to him, 'Take care, you remain tranquil and do not fear. Let not your courage fail before these two stumps of smoldering brands, the blazing anger of Rezin and the Arameans and of the son of Remaliah, because of the mischief that Aram, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah plot against you, saying, "Let us go up and tear Judah asunder, make it our own by force, and appoint the son of Tabeel king there." Always fighting against their enemies, always about to be destroyed, always grateful to God for his victory and the hand that God offered to them to strengthen them and to enable them to be victorious. But then time goes by and they get enticed to do what the pagans do, and they're back in the same ditch again. Isn't that true for us? I'm going to follow the Lord. I go to a parish mission. I go to a talk, or I just have a time of prayer. I meet a friend who follows the Lord closely, and I say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to follow the Lord. And then we fall right back into the same old stuff again. It takes all the tools that God gives us to help. But first of all, we have to make a decision in our hearts that I cannot serve both God and the flesh. I can't. It's one or the other. We need faith to do what is right. God upholds his city forever. Those who follow the Lord, those who obey him, will succeed. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 20 to 24. Jesus began to reproach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. They saw all the mighty deeds. They liked what they saw. They were entertained by what they saw. They came. It was excitement from a dull life. And they perhaps even asked themselves a couple questions. I wonder if maybe I should follow him. Oh, no, no, no. I have this and I have that and I want this and I want that. And we don't. Or someday I'm going to make a decision. Someday. And then Christ is crucified. How many times do we do that? I really want to follow the Lord. How long do we last? 2 days, 3 days? It's because we're relying on our own strength. We need to be relying on God's strength. We need to be relying on God's power. We need to turn to him. We need to ask for his help. Every moment of every day, if we could. I wish I could. I wish I could remember to ask every moment of every day, but I do ask a lot, Help me, lead me, guide me, strengthen me. Don't let me be deceived. Don't let me into the lies of the enemy. Don't let me be afraid. Give me strength to follow you, to do what you ask of me. I pray that way a lot. I think we all should. I think we should turn to the Lord frequently throughout the day. Frequently. Saying, help me. Before you begin any new task, it takes time to develop a habit, and you might succeed once out of the whole day, but if you keep at it, you'll succeed more and more. Keep readjusting your motive for why you're doing what you're doing. Let's take a look now at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 20 to 24. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. As for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted in heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Why? Because you have been given the truth. You know the truth. And if you choose to reject the way of truth, to go your own way and to do your own thing, the judgment will be harsh against you unless you repent. Scripture says it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you, because they didn't know nearly what you know. What have you done with the faith you have? What are you doing with the understanding you have? How much are you reading? How much are you growing? How much are you paying attention to good things, really good things that are on the internet? How much are you feeding your soul? You can't expect to feed your body junk food and be able to be sustained through the climbing of Mount Everest. You know that. You'd faint way near the beginning of the hike. You wouldn't make it. Well, if we feed our soul junk food, how do we expect to have the courage to do what is right? We need to feed our soul with good food, and that doesn't mean that it always has to be religious, but good food. The inspirational lives of people who've made heavy choices and difficult decisions to live their lives righteously, and they bear tremendous fruit. Read about them. Seek to follow them. For all of that to happen, we need to have the grace of repentance, to see how much God has tried to lavish upon us, and how much we pick and choose, how much we turn away from the goodness of God. We need to repent. That's the first thing we need to do. St. Bernard says repentance is the feeling of a man irritated with himself. It's true. You get irritated with yourself. That's okay. Repent. As genuine repentance makes us enter back into the friendship of the Lord, it brings us a powerful protection that makes us formidable to outside enemies. It distances them from us, that disarms and weakens our household enemies in such a way that in what follows, one is tempted much more weakly and one feels much more strength to resist. While we are enemies of God, the tempter does not bother to engage us every day in new sins. Notice that. Listen to that sentence again. This is the wisdom of Bernard. While we are enemies of God, the tempter does not bother to engage us every day in new sins. That is why the great Saint Gregory says that when one postpones erasing a sin by repentance, this sin soon attracts us into another. And that's true. You tolerate one sin, it will lead you to more sin. It won't stop there. Oh, well, I'll just have this one sinful thing in my life. No. That makes you vulnerable to more sin. That's very true. Saint Gregory says that. When one postpones erasing a sin by repentance, this sin soon attracts us into another. A sin that penance does not blot out soon by its weight leads to another. It is that the demon is the master of the place. Everything bends, everything is in his hands. But if a more powerful warrior comes to attack him, if he makes himself master of the fort, he removes from the defeated one all the weapons in which he placed his confidence and renders him harmless. I believe, says Saint Claude de la Colombière, a marvelous spiritual director, says this, I believe that a person who truly touched from on high has conceived a sincere aversion for his disorders, and that great intention that one must have in order to abandon them forever and without reservation, a man who by the force of his distress has driven the demon from his heart and bound the Holy Spirit to come make his dwelling person. I believe that a person who truly touched from on high has conceived a sincere aversion for his disorders, and that great intention that one must have in order to abandon them forever and without reservation. A man who by the force of his distress has driven the demon from his heart and bound the Holy Spirit to come make his dwelling there. I believe, says Claude de la Colombière, I believe that if this person were unfortunate enough to fall back, he would close for himself by his fall all return to mercy. It would be morally impossible for him to recover. But for whoever has made a similar repentance, real repentance, you will not fall so deeply into that sin again. When you have a chance, in other words, brothers and sisters, to shorten this, when you have a chance, an opportunity, and you see that what you're doing is wrong, when you see it clearly, that what you're doing is wrong, and you sincerely repent of that sin, then you will be given strength when the next attack comes to more quickly repent of your sin and turn toward God. God wants to love you. And when you repent of sin, you're saying to God, I want you more than I want my sin. May God bless us and lead us all. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.